Welcome. This is Chip Roasting.
I'm Wally.
I am somebody. I'm Brennan. I'm not Brennan. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. We're roasting some chips.
Record on this computer.
There we go.
Hello.
Welcome.
Sorry, it's been a month again.
Yeah.
We're very bad at this, but life is busy. And Brennan still does not want to be probed, so...
Nope, that will change during this episode, but also the underlying philosophy will not change. My name will change, yes. Underlying philosophy, no.
Yeah.
Still not Brennan, though. What is up,
that's
Mr. Wolf Gator Entertainment?
That's right, that's my real name.
Yep.
Yeah, so not only is it a month, it's been about a month since we recorded an episode. We were recording on a Saturday afternoon.
That's our bad. Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
Which is weird.
This is how devoted we are to you, our audience, our one audience.
Actually, we've gotten there's been 8 listens on the last episode on our podcast, or like our pod streaming service.
Yeah.
And there have been 5 watches of at least 42 minutes long. Like the average comes out to about 42 minutes. So, I mean... Well, people
this is what
watching.
We're doing for you. Yeah, for our loyal fans, then, is we're recording on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah, we could be doing other things, probably. We're probably invited
probably.
To other things.
But I have other things. But
like,
this is not...
Theoretically.
Theoretically, right.
Yeah,
theoretically.
We are putting aside our theoretical plans to be here
yep.
for y'all.
Yep, I could be out watching Cocaine Bear right now.
I watched that movie, actually.
Did
I've been
you?
Seeing a lot of movies.
How was Cocaine Bear?
Highly recommend Regal Unlimited if you have the time to see movies, because you basically get to see a bunch for free.
Oh,
as
nice.
Long as you see more than like 2 movies a month, you are stealing money from Regal actively engaging in this plan, this plot. And I see
Regal,
movies all the time. So
Regal is technically a local company to this place I live.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were founded here, I believe.
Yes.
And there's a giant theater not that far from my house, so I should go
they
get that.
They were indeed founded in the country in which you live. Yes.
Yes, Canada.
Yes.
that's where we're from. But and Cocaine Bear also takes place in Canada, where I live.
Yes.
But anyway, lots of news, lots of Star Wars we missed. We didn't talk about the last 2 episodes of Bad Batch last episode, so now we're 7 episodes behind.
Cool. I am excited to talk about it from what I remember, because I remember 2 of the episodes I liked a whole lot. And then
I have
the
notes
ones
for
I liked...
2 of 3 of them. And I don't have notes for 4 of them.
It's like it's looping around in a good direction. I am very optimistic, because like finally we seem to have a direction for Bad Batch, which I love. Because like Clone Wars, you knew where that would end.
Right.
Rebels, for the most part, you knew where that would end. Bad Batch, it's like they have so much unexplored territory. I feel like I've done this before. I feel like I've said this before.
Probably.
On podcasts.
We repeat ourselves
here I am
a lot.
Saying it again. Yeah.
Because
we're like we're approximately 230 episodes in, so it's going to get some
57,
repetition.
I think. This is 57.
Okay.
I believe this is episode 57. Anyway, so let's start off the news.
Let me make a note of that then, so I don't forget.
Well, in 3 episodes at the end of the episode, I have to go back in all of our episodes and find where we said the word Mark Hamill and put them all in a compilation at the end of the 60th episode, because I said I would do that for some reason.
Wow,
on 7/21/21, I said 60th episode compilation of us saying Mark Hamill over every podcast.
I have fallen off the Mark Hamill train. I keep forgetting to give him credit for all of his acting stuff here.
I know. Well, speaking of Mark Hamill, this is a good place to start the news.
Yeah.
Do you remember Bert Kreischer's stand-up routine?
Not at all.
A couple years ago, the Eye of the Machine.
Yes, I did see that trailer.
Well,
I
that
did
movie
see
is
that
coming
trailer.
Out, and our favorite Mark Hamill is himself playing a character. He's playing Bert the Conqueror. Well, I know him as Bert the Conqueror because that's where I first saw him on the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
But he's playing Bert Kreischer's father, and the movie plot follows Bert and his father as they are kidnapped by those who Bert wronged 20 years ago while drunk on a college semester abroad in Russia. Hilarity and action will ensue, and Mark Hamill even does speed. So, movie comes out this month. That is going to be a wild ride.
This month? I almost forgot
this
month.
Yep.
Wow.
So that'll be
yep
something. Out of all
looks
stand-up routines,
pretty promising. Yeah.
Out of all stand-up routines, I'm glad that they decided to go with that one to make a movie out of.
Yeah. Like, I still remember when I was in high school, I think, and you would see that comedy routine everywhere. Everywhere. So, you know, like, the movie actually looks kind of promising based on the trailer, which is awesome. So
it's I saw someone online say, didn't they come out with Cocaine Bear already? Which it basically just looks like one of those type movies. Yeah, like, yeah. So stupid, so funny, but it's, I'm excited for it. I still need to see Cocaine Bear, but that maybe I'll go get the real thing, see Cocaine Bear, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and the Machine movie.
Yeah.
All in one go. Transition here. Disney has announced February 8th that Zootopia 2, Frozen 3, Toy Story 5, and officially in the works.
And there's one more, right?
There might be. Probably. But that's all I saw.
No, you are. It was only those three. Because yes. I told the same announcement. I thought there were four. I don't know why. There are only three. Yes.
Yep. And all I have to say about that is no, stop, please. Wait, no one wants these.
Did you say Inside Out 2 as well? Because they talked
more about
those updates.
No, but I think we've known about that, though.
Yeah.
I think we've known about that for a while.
I thought they talked more about it, but perhaps not.
Either way, Zootopia 2, I guess. But Frozen 3 and Toy Story 5 do not need to happen.
I'm pretty sure they're going to keep making Frozen movies indefinitely here. But, yeah.
Yeah, probably. The first movie was in theaters for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
It made them a lot of money, and it still makes them a lot of money just because of the songs and the toys and such.
Speaking of films that have been in movies theaters for forever, Puss in Boots 2 is still in theaters, and this is like
I thought it was 3.
No, there is no 3 yet.
Oh.
It's 2 because the first.
I thought that was the third. Okay.
Puss in Boots movie came out a while ago, and it sucked, in my opinion. It was not good.
Yeah.
This movie came out. It was phenomenal.
If you haven't had
a chance to see it yet, I would highly recommend adding that to your list of films to see in Regal in March. Mm-hmm. Because it's probably one of the best like kids movies, quote-unquote, that I've seen in like a long time here.
So this is the third one. Puss in Boots came out in 2011. Puss in Boots, the Three Diablos came out in 2012. And Puss in Boots, The Last Wish came out in 2022.
There's another Puss in Boots film?
Yeah.
That can't be right.
Yes, there's three.
Nuh-uh.
That's what I had to make sure.
You're,
I'm glad we stick with Disney here. But anyway, Puss in Boots 3, I've heard amazing things about. I've heard it's like actually one of the best animated films to come out of the U.S. in a long time.
I just looked up Puss in Boots 2, and it's telling me that one is The Last Wish. Hold on. What do you say it was called?
The Three Diablos.
Yep, you are right. Oh, that's not a movie.
It's not? I don't know.
It's a short. It is 12 minutes long. Its runtime is listed as 12 minutes.
So it is the second one, but it's the third story, I guess, it's told with Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
But I've heard amazing things about it. I do not think we'll hear amazing things about Frozen 3 or Toy Story 5. They need to stop with Toy Story.
Yeah. Someone made an interesting point about Toy Story 5. They were like, Toy Story 3 worked because it was the end of Andy's stories.
Yeah.
That was a good conclusion. And they announced Toy Story 4 and they had it, and it was more of the end of Woody's story. So that kind of worked as a good conclusion for that. What is Toy Story 5 supposed to be like the end of?
Well, and who are they following? Are they going to follow Woody, or are they going to follow Buzz and the game?
Yeah.
They just need to stop. I mean, they've ended the story perfectly twice. Just stop.
Yeah, they're going to keep making movies until that dead horse is glue.
I think it might be glue already. But they're going to keep beating it until their bat gets stuck to the glue and they cannot hit it anymore.
Yeah, yep.
Speaking of remakes, on March 2nd, Disney's Haunted Mansion's first trailer came
out. Ooh, yeah, I saw
it. Stars Rosario
really
Dawson,
good.
Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Danny DeVito, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Jared Leto as the Hatbox Ghost. Movie premieres
really
July
good.
28th. Dude, it looks awesome.
The trailer looked phenomenal.
It looked really good. And I know the original Haunted Mansion movie, which came out in like 2004, 2005, with Eddie Murphy, People like it. I like it. It's a good nostalgia watch. It's not a good movie, though.
Yeah, I own it on DVD, or we owned it on DVD while I was a child. And I watched it once, and I was like, this is an all right film. But that's kind of all I remember about it. I don't remember like anything specific. I just remember being like, yeah, all right, sure.
It was overly goofy with some Easter eggs, whereas this one seems to be chock full of Easter eggs.
Oh, sweet.
And it actually is creepy because I kind of want them to kind of lean more into the horror, even though it's a children's movie, or supposed to be a children's movie.
And a children's ride.
Right.
Kind of, too. Yeah.
But like when you're a child, like especially me, because I remember freaking out about it. When you're a child, that ride is genuinely scary.
I would not go on the ride. The first time my dad took me to Disney World, and he's like, oh, let's ride this. I got all the way up to the very front.
Me too.
And I was like, I will not ride this thing. Not a
chance. I saw
the
changing faces right before you get into the stretching elevator, and I flipped out.
Mm-hmm.
I would not get on the ride. It's a scary ride, so they have to lean into that for it to be a good homage to the ride.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to.
I'm tapping out here. I'm done. And I didn't ride it until the last time I was at Disney, where I was like, oh, yeah, I never rode this ride.
2021, I think, when you went.
Yeah, it was the very end of 2021,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, you know what, now is a good time to ride it, because I'm no longer a 9-year-old child, or however old I was before.
Yeah,
and it was really fun. I was like, I can't believe that I missed it as a kid, but also I don't know if I would have liked it as much as a
right.
They're not it's not all that scary, but as a kid, when you're walking up there, you're like, I do not know what is behind these doors here.
Right.
So I kind of hope the movie has the same kind of vibe of like, oh, is it scary or is it not? And you get on there and you start watching and you're like, okay, this is awesome.
Right. And just from the trailer alone, I think it looks like they're going to try to lean into that.
Yeah.
My only concern is with a comedian playing Madame Leota. And I love Tiffany Haddish. That's how I found her, was through her stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how she slides in that role. But I think I really hope they at least let Owen Wilson say wow once, unlike they did in Loki.
Yeah, what was with Loki?
I don't know why he wasn't allowed to say wow. But that's all I want from this movie. I want it to be a little scary, very scary for children, but a little scary for adults, like the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Or not scary, but creepy. And then I want Owen Wilson to say wow, and I think it'll be a successful movie. I like the rest of the cast, though. It's really,
there's
really
still
good
hope in Marvel for him saying wow in
Loki
season two, but I don't know why they're waiting.
I don't know. They should have let him say wow at least once in season one. Star Wars news. On February 9th, Star Wars announced The Young Jedi Tales will premiere on Disney Plus and Disney Junior on May 4th. It's the first on-screen appearance of the High Republic. So before then, we will make High Republic. Before that happens, before May, we'll make a High Republic rundown.
All right.
I think there's a book. I think there might be two or three books that come out before then. So it'll all be fresh in my mind, so I can do a quick rundown of it.
And I may now have access to some audiobooks from the High Republic era. So who knows? Maybe I'll know some stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. I highly recommend reading those. They're really, really good. It shows it's the golden age of the Jedi, and the villains they've made for that era are really intriguing. So
sweet.
And I think that's the only Star Wars news for there. Marvel, the non MCU stuff. Well, I guess I don't know. It's in a weird place for Sony, but Spider-Man Noir series was announced to be in the works. It's take place in the 1930s. It will not be about Peter Parker, but some other Spider-Man.
Interesting.
They kind of delve into the Spider-Man noir and into the multiverse. Into the Spider-Verse. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Do we think it'll still be played by Nicolas Cage?
That's interesting. I don't know. I don't think there's been any news since then about it, but it'll be interesting. I like that they're kind of, and I mean, we've heard for months now that Sony's kind of looking around at the different Spider-Man universes and different Spider people.
They're trying to find something that works. They're desperately trying to find something that'll work for them.
Yeah, and I know they have the Madam Web movie coming out. They have a bunch of stuff in the works. Hopefully something sticks. I think the Spider-Man Noir series, if approached the right way, can work. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Especially since they don't have access to any of the other noir characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think there's a Grey Hulk.
Oh.
And there's a Daredevil character as well. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting, especially if Marvel's working with them to do it, then they'll have access to those characters, I think.
Marvel and Sony just need to like treat everything like trading cards, like keep swapping things.
Yeah.
Back and forth. The audience won't care as long as they're getting some really good entertainment and really good quality stories.
Right. Kevin Feige teased the other day that Fantastic Four will be coming soon, and I straight up don't believe him.
Yeah. Fantastic Four is like starting to piss me off a lot because it's like, if you guys weren't ready for it, just don't do it, because Fantastic Four is supposed to be the conclusion of Phase Four, first of all. We were originally supposedly going to have Fantastic Four already here, and now it's like, oh, we can, you know, wait till Phase Six, but then they'll have them. But then the director or writer, I don't remember who, of like the Kang Dynasty, came out and was like, I don't have any plans to use Fantastic Four in my movie here, mainly because, you know, they're not in the MCU yet.
Right.
And it's like, if we're just releasing them to have them be kind of in their own standalone movie, and then we're not going to touch them again forever, it's like, why this huge hype on bringing them in? Just wait till the time's right, and then do it then. But it's like, oh, get ready for this exciting, you know, they're going to be here, they're going to be like integral to the MCU, and like, there's no plan to use them in like the big team-up movies you're about to have. Like,
right.
What's going on here? Just wait till the time's right.
Yeah, they definitely announced it prematurely, because I remember they announced it back in 2020 that this would be happening, or at least 20. Yep. Maybe it was 2019. I remember
it was 2020, because
we were still doing this. We were doing this this podcast when they announced it.
I think it was.
It was Disney. It was like the Disney.
No. They announced it.
It was when we were doing the Star Wars the Christmas special watch through. It was back in December of 2020. When they announced it.
No, we were doing the watch. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, I know. Time is wild. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Or like 2.5 years ago. But I mean, point being, they've announced it. They've had it announced for a while, and nothing's happened with it.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't gotten casting. We haven't really gotten a speculated story, script writer. What is going on with this film? Or this series, whatever. Just do something.
Is Fantastic Four cursed? No, I was right here. It was announced in 2019 during that Comic-Con then.
Okay.
I thought it was during a Comic-Con event, and I was like, it couldn't have been 2020, because that would have been with COVID and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't have had some kind of big in-person thing. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. They had done it.
Comic-Con then.
They re-announced it then during the 2020 the income meeting, or whatever they call them for Disney.
They did re-announce
it then when they announced all the new stuff. But again, it's 4 years. Nothing's happened with it. Do something.
Yeah.
Or it's just stop hyping it up. If you're not going to do anything, stop hyping it up.
Yeah, just drop it off. You've had movies that haven't worked out before. Mm-hmm. Captain America and the Serpent Society. I don't remember if that was ever actually confirmed or not. That one may have not actually been confirmed.
I don't know if they ever announced it or anything, but yeah.
But like, the Inhumans movie was actually on the slate before ever.
You had to
drop that one off. Like, if this doesn't work, just take some time, guys.
Yeah,
please. I mean, you kind of can't now, because you've been hyping it up for so long. But just in the future, remember our words. You're listening to us right now, Kevin Feige. You are on here. You are all 13 of our listeners. We're speaking directly into your soul.
And I think everyone would agree with us. Speaking of,
I don't know about everyone. I don't know about half the people.
About the 13 listeners. Yes.
We may have 13,
which I guess includes Matt,
people on our side. Yeah.
Yeah.
We may have 13 people on our side. Who knows?
It was leaked. Speaking of disappointing, it was leaked that only Secret Invasion and Loki Season 2 are confirmed for 2023.
Yep.
In terms of the MCU shows, Echo and Ironheart are unlikely to come out in 2023 due to Marvel wanting to spread out its releases and spend more time on post-production, which It's both good and bad. It's great because we'll likely get better TV shows, which is something we've been complaining about this entire time. Mm-hmm. But it's bad because they're already announcing stuff too far into the future. And if they keep pushing that stuff back, it's hard to build hype.
Yeah.
Around it. It's hard to stay excited. So there's no.
Yeah, that is exactly where.
Yeah.
Where I am at as well. Because like I am kind of pumped that like with Echo, especially because of how Echo ties into like to Daredevil and Kingpin and their stories, that they're going to take more time with that. And also hopefully to give Echo kind of the hype that she needs, because, you know, most people who've been hype about it, they've been hype about it because of Daredevil and Kingpin and all that, which, you know, that is also me, and I'm going to be invested in their stories no matter what. But I also want Echo to become her own like established character. And if this show kind of just rushes past all of that, then there's going to be no hype to keep her around, which would suck.
She was a good, she was an interesting character in Hawkeye. We just never, we never really got to spend much time with her. And
yeah, because, you know, Hawkeye we're going was on, also a short show.
And, you know, with them not coming out this year, that'll be 2 years since we last saw Echo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So like, I'm glad they're slowing things down. And for like Echo and like Ironheart and, Agatha, like, I'm not too disappointed. I was like, oh, having to wait like an extra year, like, that's fine. But for the other shows that I've announced, like way down the road, like Daredevil was originally supposed to come out next year, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was either late last year or early 2025. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think it was 2024.
2024. I don't remember any other shows off the top of my head. But
there was House, there was Agatha. There was.
Yeah. Agatha was one that was supposed to come out this year, I'm pretty sure, or early next year.
Something like that. Either way.
But anyway, there's been a lot. It's like, you know, those like Daredevil, if that gets pushed off to 2025 or 2026, it's like, yeah, that's fine. You know, it's kind of, like, no one's going to be able to maintain their hype for that long. But when it gets closer, you know, it'll come back up. But for shows after that, it's like that's going to slow things down a lot. They're not going to be able to announce new projects. If they decide to change directions and they want to cram something in there, there's not going to be the space. Especially if the movies stick on the track that they're currently on right now. I honestly don't think they will. I think the movies are going to get slowed down a lot for the next Avengers movie. I would be surprised if like we got that anywhere close to the announced time frame already here.
Yeah, because didn't they say 2026 or 2027? Yeah. We're not going to get them.
Yeah, it was 2026, I'm pretty sure.
Both of them, right?
Was the date. Yeah.
They weren't that far apart.
Which is wild, because from the start of phase one to the end of phase three, that was like, 12 years?
Yeah.
And they're trying to do this all again in six. And it's like, guys, slow down.
Right.
So I am glad that this is happening. But now that we already kind of know where it's supposed to end, it's like, has Marvel kind of destroyed this buildup of hype that they would have originally gotten here? So, yeah. But what, I am glad they're doing this to raise the quality, and hopefully the quality is raised, because like, I think everyone's been able to notice some kind of dip in quality in various areas. Some people are more
that's what I've heard.
Some people are more forgiving of dips and qualities and like certain spots, but like, you know, there's at least one thing you've noticed where you're like, this is not as good as it used to be here. So hopefully this gives them the time to kind of build back into all of that.
Yeah. And if we look at the timelines, if everything comes out when there's like, when they say that as they push it back, it'll have been 2 years since we've seen Echo and Kingpin and Daredevil. It would have been a year since we've seen Ironheart.
Well, Daredevil was in She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a year then.
Yeah.
It's a year since we've seen Daredevil. How did I forget about that? I was thinking about She-Hulk, but I just forgot he was in it.
Yeah, it's it's been a bit longer since Kingpin and Echo.
And we'll get into this soon, but it'll have been over a year since we saw Ms. Marvel when the Marvels comes out. We don't know what's happening with She-Hulk.
Because the Marvels was supposed to be in July and that got pushed back to November. I've seen because like they wanted to take their time with it, make sure the quality was up to where they wanted it to be, which I am grateful for that.
Yeah.
But like still, it's like you're just lengthening the gaps between seeing these characters. And I feel like Marvel used to do a great job. And it was mainly because they just had Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and then they had like a filler slot for like a new character. And they could juggle those and spread those out well. And now they have so many characters, which is awesome, but they're not doing a good job of juggling them and make sure we're consistently seeing them on screen.
Right, right. And which leads us into the Marvels, like as you said, November 10th, 2023 release. We did get our first poster on the day Ant-Man came out, I believe. We got the first poster. Looks really good, but we've not seen Captain Marvel in, well, I guess at the end of Ms. Marvel we saw her for like a second, but we've not seen her in since Endgame. We've not seen Monica Rambeau since 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not, and then it's at that point it would have been over a year since we've seen this Marvel. And I understand that, you know, like you said, they want to take their time and get everything out, but I think they realized that too late and set up too much to do that.
Yes. Yep. You are absolutely.
And they announced way too much to do that.
Absolutely
so,
correct.
You know, we're just kind of in this lull of just waiting now. When is the next Marvel project? It's this month, I think. Secret Wars? When does Secret Wars come out?
We don't.
Or not Secret Wars. I'm sorry.
No, it's Secret Invasion. Yeah.
I keep confusing the two.
Yeah.
When does that come out? Is that this month or is that next
month? Secret Invasion, it was rumored initially it would be February or March.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We haven't gotten anything for that. The latest speculation is May, is that it'll come out after Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That's the last speculation that
I've
seen.
I forgot it's a show. So first episode, yeah. Even on Google, it says just first episode 2023.
Yep. There's no confirmed date.
We haven't seen Nick Fury I think since Endgame. Or no, yeah, we saw him briefly in Spider-Man. That wasn't actually him.
Yeah, we saw him in Spider-Man. I mean, in the
two. Yeah. Not even Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, but Spider-Man 2. We heard him talked about it in Spider-Man 3, but we only saw him in Spider-Man 2 in like the post-credit scene there, because the him we saw during the movie actually wasn't him. It was Talos?
Talos.
That was his name?
Or Talos, whatever.
Yeah, which I love seeing him. He was a great character, but then...
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I am interested to see where that story will go, but it's like Marvel used to, for the most part, they would like establish things and then like a couple movies later, they would respond to those things.
Right.
And here's like they're establishing things. It's like, oh, we're going to respond to it here. And then it keeps getting pushed off and it's less satisfying to the audience. And so they're like, hey, don't establish these things or make sure you know concretely when the audience will get the answer before you set this up.
I think they'll have learned from this, but I don't know why they ever strayed from it. They set up so much so fast. And obviously COVID is a contributing factor. I think a lot of these projects would be out already had COVID not happened.
Yeah. But like
even also, still, at the,
it was
even
still
at the time,
a lot.
They said that they're going to do all this when, you know, early on, I don't think they ever did that like more than a year or two in the future. Whereas when they first came out with, oh, this is what's happening after Endgame, they came out like 3-4 years in advance. And then COVID pushed everything back. And then they tried to get everything out as fast as they can to keep a similar timeline. And it's not working. And clearly they've seen that. And hopefully after this multiverse saga, which by the which in this time since our last podcast, they've officially like minted as the multiverse saga.
And that's the most insane thing is because I sent you a tweet, I think, about it. Like,
yeah,
about just the audacity of Marvel to call this the multiverse saga when we've only really seen one multiverse on screen, and it's been a multiverse where green means stop and red means go, and that's the only difference. That's all that we've seen, and it's like, come on, guys! Like, we've seen some stuff in Loki here, we saw some stuff in Doctor Strange, we saw like, you know, characters from other multiverses in Spider-Man, but like,
well, and don't forget, we got What If as well, which,
what
happened to season two of What If? Like, where is that?
Oh,
what's going on with
the other ones where they said that would come this year as well, and then it totally dropped
off.
But
what happened to it? Like, we've heard nothing about What If season two, other than that they announced it.
Oh man, yeah, and
it's just a mess at Marvel right now. It's like, yeah. Did they hire everyone from DC? Like when they got fired, like shit.
And it's like in the previous saga where it was called like the Infinity Saga. That was a really great buildup of the Infinity Stones, the Thanos, to everything. It's like, yeah, you can see why it's called.
But they didn't call it that till the end.
Infinity Saga. Yeah, exactly. And here they're like prematurely being like, oh, Multiverse Saga.
Right.
And we're not seeing any buildup to that at all. Outside of a few things that could really just be considered like, not like Easter eggs, like fan service might be like a good word of like, hey, it's we're like kind of tipping our toes into this, but to really call it like, oh, the multiverse, it's like, you guys haven't even really touched like the multiverse yet.
Right. And then you have films in there like the Black Panther or Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever that, while a great film, has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
In the saga.
Yeah, like it's like maybe you're building up to something else there. They're talking about like mutants and stuff already, which is totally fine. Like I'm all for building up to that, but like
Yeah.
But like don't dub this like the multiverse saga where you're trying to do a million things all at the same time. Like if this needs to be like a gap saga or something or whatever of like, hey, we're working to set things up in the future, stay tuned saga, then sure, yeah, that makes sense. But to call it the multiverse saga where you're it really like they're building up to any one thing right now, that sucks.
And I guess not everything has to build up to it because in the comics, just, you know, there'll just be these sets of storylines that are in this one thing while everything else is doing their own thing. And that's fine. But
yeah,
I don't know. They should have waited to call certain things the multiverse saga because She-Hulk, Black Panther 2, probably the Marvels and Miss Marvel. What the hell do they have to do with the multiverse?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, was there any like any movie at all in the Infinity Saga that was like aggressively not tied in to the other movies? Because I'm trying to think, and every movie I can think of in some way like helped directly tie in to multiverse. Hulk established the character, and then Hulk was a very important character in like the very end. So it's like, even with that,
yeah.
Because like,
yeah, the Hulk is like, it has a complicated Ant-Man history in ECH.
Ant-Man, it's like you established Ant-Man was an important part player.
Yeah.
And like the very end. So
Was Winter Soldier that important? Was it?
Well, like, he wasn't that important, like the individual character, but the movie like the Fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., which kind of led to a lot of the other events that kind of helped bring it all about. So it's all the things were important events that eventually led to here. Mm-hmm. And it's like in the multiverse saga, maybe they're going to bring everything all together, but it really seems like fractured events that can't tie together. Where I feel like with the Infinity Saga, even in the moment, you can be like, okay, I can see the coherent picture that's being painted here because all the movies can kind of like relate.
Yeah, you're right. They're all tied in somehow. I mean, Thor Ragnarok didn't seem like it until the end.
Yeah, because then at the very end, it's like, oh, they're bringing it's like right before Infinity War. That movie ends beat before Infinity War starts.
It is to Infinity War what Rogue One is to New Hope.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, dude, I mean,
even on the same beat where it's small ship and like, and yes, like big ship, yeah. Even
it's pretty much the same thing. But the thing is with a growing universe of characters, not everything is going to connect, and that's fine. Not everything has to connect, but don't label an entire thing one thing with everything not being that, you know?
Exactly. Because Marvel's acting like it is supposed to be connecting and is supposed to be forming one coherent picture, being like, oh, you guys don't understand. You guys can't figure out where this is going. That's on you. And it's like, what are you talking about? Give us something cohesive.
It's almost... Yeah. They set it up in the beginning with WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and what was the other one? What was the third movie, the third show that was out? Loki? Was that third?
I think Loki was third. Because Hawkeye was fourth, right? And that came after Loki.
Okay, so okay, let's take Loki and WandaVision kind of as one thing, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then Hawkeye. Those four shows set up three different ways that that universe could go and split into it and be fine. The multiverse saga was one. The other was just world problems, the things that Captain America has always dealt with, and Captain America, whoever it is, moving forward, which we know it's Sam, always dealt with, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And he could be included in the multiverse, like, it doesn't matter. And then the street level heroes, they could, and they can still go that way. And only call that one branch the multiverse saga, but encapsulating all of those things and calling it the multiverse saga is not going to work. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and just all their worlds seem so divided here. I mean, let's just take like Miss Marvel, Kate Bishop, She-Hulk, Spider-Man. Let's just take those four, for example, mm-hmm. with how their recent projects have been established. I cannot really imagine them in one cohesive world. All of their stories seem too separated for you to imagine, like right now the characters just running into each other on the street. And I know that they're going to bring them all together at some point, but it's like they could have related things a bit more, given it kind of the same.
Who was it? You said She-Hulk, Spider-Man, Hawk, Kate Bishop, and who?
It's Marvel.
Ms. Marvel, okay. And three of those shows take place in the same freaking series, city.
Yep.
Or three of those things take place in the same freaking city. At least She-Hulk's in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't get it. And then there's Moon Knight and Shang-Chi.
It's wild.
Which take place in two other cities and are just completely... They connected Shang-Chi at the end, but Moon Knight's just down. It's just over there.
Yeah. And
same with Werewolf by Night, which I know they might incorporate at some point, but he's just also there.
Yeah, it's part of the MCU. It's just so bizarre because with how Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America were in like the first story arc, like they all had their own individual movies, all their own individual tones, but like we saw them interact on screen during Avengers, and even before that, you could be like, I can see these guys in the same.
Well, they were approached by what's his name from S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury.
Yep.
At the end of every one of their movies, even Hulk, I think, or at least he was approached by Tony at the end of that movie.
It was General Ross was approached by Tony Stark.
That's right. They were all tied together in some fashion.
Yeah, there was something that immediately connected all of them, and we just don't have this for these movies here. And it's like we're about to have a team up movie supposedly soon with like all of the Avengers.
On the same scale of Endgame, Infinity War and Endgame.
We haven't seen them interact at all yet, and looking at the movie slate, there's no plans to have them interact before the big team-up movie, and it's like, how can you possibly do that?
And the only interaction was Bruce Banner Bruce Banner's actually the one who's connected two of them, was She-Hulk and Shang-Chi. That's it.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But it's disappointing, to say the least, because of what they built for themselves. And I think they're trying to recapture that, but going too fast, trying to do too many things.
They're trying to do way too many things.
They're doing what DC did in the beginning.
It kind of feels like they're actually doing what Star Wars did with like the sequels trilogy of you had like with Star Wars, you had two past trilogies. There was like an overarching plan, not so much with the original trilogy at first, episode 4, and then 5 and 6 came as like a pairing after that, but still it was like all tied in together. And then you had the prequel trilogy where there was that whole plan. You got to the sequel trilogy, and I guess like in their arrogance almost, they didn't really like talk and plan out one cohesive story. They were like, oh, it's Star Wars, take it like one step at a time here and just do these individual movies, but they didn't add up to something. It feels like with Marvel, they kind of did the same thing where you had the first story arc. It was like planned out for the most part. And we got here and it's like, okay, we can just kind of do individual things and then we'll tie it all up to this, but we'll just focus on the individual as quickly as possible for now. And then it's like, wait a minute.
But the thing that Star Wars is doing, the thing that Star Wars is doing, but when we'll get into later when we talk about Bad Batch and Mandalorian, the thing that Star Wars is doing is they're going back and they're trying to fix it. I don't know if you can go back and try to. I think it's almost too late to try to do that with Marvel. Where they are right now in their current plan.
like, I mean, you can, but to do it, you just have to like be like, okay, the Avengers team up movie, like that one has to get pushed off for like 5 years at least. You have to push it off, and you have to give the time for the characters to meet. Because well, like the whole thing with like with Captain America and like Iron Man, that was a huge thing, is they had lots of on-screen time. You get to see their relationship, and then they had a fight, and then like, you know, they had to like go off in their own directions, and they only got brought back together for the big thing. But mm-hmm. like, if you can't even do any part of that with any two new characters for here now, because they haven't met to begin with. I mean,
yeah, and it's, imagine it's if weird this is what the do... first.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just saying it's weird to do a giant team up movie when you haven't done the first singular team up movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because like even what I was gonna say here is like, if imagine if they were just announcing projects and they announced like with this new cast they'd be doing a Civil War movie with this new cast, and you'd be like, how can they do this? People haven't even met each other. There's no way to have like a Civil War, because they're just a bunch of individuals. They're not like a team or anything yet at all.
It'd be like plucking just random characters from every universe, like plucking a character from DC, Invincible, The Boys, and Marvel. Plucking four of them, fight each other. Why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're so unrelated.
Why is Superman
so
fighting...
unrelated
fucking,
right now.
Why is Superman fighting Captain America in this movie? They've never met each other. But anyway, it's frustrating.
That turned into a big rant.
I know. But I think that's how a lot of Marvel fans feel right now.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And they're like, they and I think they're starting to lose people. And maybe they should not have.
Oh, yeah. Starting to lose people. Like, I mean, friends who I have who used to go and see all the Marvel films just for fun, one, kind of seem overwhelmed right now. And two, they're like, it's just not as good as it used to be. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even with like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and like, I won't hark on this too much because I know you haven't seen it yet, and like, I don't want to spoil or anything
well,
or waste our time.
Well, I'm a perfect example right there. I have the last three movies, I didn't see them first day like I did with the old one, with the other ones.
Yeah.
Granted, I only saw three of them because I didn't get back into Marvel until 2020. I saw three of them like opening night, but I have not seen the last three opening day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the thing with Ant-Man either is like, the thing with Ant-Man. Also, I don't remember what I was trying to say there.
Sorry.
Like, is like Ant-Man used to have their own, like the Ant-Man movies, they had their own distinct vibe. Like Ant-Man 1, Ant-Man 2 had like a very distinct vibe. And Ant-Man 3, like I enjoyed seeing Ant-Man 3. I got a lot of bad reviews. It's like, oh, am I not going to enjoy it? No, I enjoyed it still. But it does have a very different vibe than the other Ant-Man movies. And something someone's pointed out that I cannot get out of my head now that someone's pointed it out is all the helmets are nanotech now. There are no more actual helmets, and it's something so like, if it feels like it robs a character of some of its uniqueness when, as a superhero, they act the same way as all of the other superheroes you're seeing on screen. And even just like the helmet, how like Spider-Man,
not
Jane
anymore,
Thor, Iron Man, yeah, not anymore. You're absolutely right. That's why I loved how Spider-Man ended. Mm-hmm. But Iron Man, Ant-Man, just like basically, Black Panther, like all the characters,
they're
just going into the same kind of like, oh, no more physical helmets, and it's not as satisfying now. Like it feels like they're just it. Like when the technology gets to a certain level here, it takes away some of like the stakes of how it feels. Like it doesn't feel as real anymore, because you're like, oh, broken arm, like science can fix that. How do I know that? Because he has a helmet that can, like, you know, like, or well, if it's Spider-Man with like the actual mask, like he breaks his arm, you'd be like, oh my god, he's gonna die. And like it just
yes,
removes
broken arm equals death.
Yeah, it just removes so much of like of the stakes, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm just copy and paste hero with copy and paste like attribute. And the Ant-Man movie, it was cool to see Ant-Man in like a whole different world, but it did feel like it took a lot away of like the charm of some of the original Ant-Man films. I still really enjoyed Ant-Man 3, but like, you're gonna watch Ant-Man 1 and Ant-Man 2, that has a certain vibe. Ant-Man 3 doesn't have that same kind of vibe.
And yeah, and I when they initially announced it, I thought it was really weird that Ant-Man was the one that's going to introduce Kang. Because that just, it seems too big for Ant-Man.
Yeah. And like, it kind of worked.
What they had like, set up anyway. Like, yeah. What we had 1 and 2, and sure, the end of 2 would set up, you know, multiverse. But, and then
Infinity War.
Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Set up Endgame. And his integral role in Endgame was great. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking away not that away from the Ant-Man character, but it just seemed too big originally. And again, I don't know how it works because I've not seen it yet.
Yeah.
But
like, it kind of worked, but it kind of also felt like this is a lot for just an Ant-Man film here.
Right. So
like they definitely played it up like just in the scope of the movie, it was more than it should have been in my opinion. I was expecting kind of more of a light introduction, and it was like, no, it's like Ant-Man against Kang here. I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, back to news. Kevin Feige announced that Deadpool 3 will be the first R-rated MCU film. That kind of just goes back into what we were saying. That's another movie that then said like, hey, we're making it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh my God. There's so much stuff with movies.
And it doesn't fit into anything they're doing.
Thunderbolts, I've seen so much with all of that. And it looks like from what I've like, there's a plot synopsis that keeps going around online. I can't find it backed up. Like
I completely forgot about the Thunderbolts movie or show.
Whatever. Like official. But what the Thunderbolts movie plot outline that I've seen go around says is that the statue, or not the statue, the celestial corpse that appeared at the very end of the Eternals where it was trying to hatch, but then didn't.
Oh God,
did
I forgot about
hatch.
That movie too. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right. So,
there's so much going on.
So what the plot of that movie says is like that countries found some interesting metal, and the statue, they've dubbed it Adamanium or whatever. Ooh. The Wolverine metal is, like, that's what they're calling it. So it's like, oh, it's like that metal. And it's like a race between like the country powers to get to it. And it's like they're all the countries are doing like illegal things to do it. And Captain America has to be the one to stand in and say, like, hey, stop, which is super cool. But it's like,
wait, is this for Captain America or the Thunderbolts?
Oh, wait. Wait, okay, wait, hold on. Which plot synopsis is this? Wait, hold on. Is this New World Order or is this Thunderbolts that I've seen? No. I believe it is Thunderbolts. And Captain America is going to have a role in that movie too. And that the Thunderbolts are going to be what has to like stop the exploitation by like... But it's like super weird. But like, you know, that aside, I don't know if it's real or not. The only thing I like about that is it brings up the fact that there's a giant celestial corpse in the ocean, which no
not been addressed.
has either touched. And it's like,
I think it was mentioned briefly in like a little line in Spider-Man.
No, it was mentioned in a line in a She-Hulk. It was
they were looking at
a news thing, and it was like a column on the side, which is like at least She-Hulk touched it. I'm grateful for that, but it's like that's how standalone these movies feel, is like something that big and major can happen. And it's, I mean,
not mentioned
at the very end of Eternals, you know, the giant dude appeared outside the sky and he snatched up three of the Eternals and then like
left.
Took off. And it's like, nobody's talked about that. What?
Okay. So let's figure this out. So okay. The Eternals, Shang-Chi, Moon Knight. what else? She-Hulk.
Oh, and then they also finally confirmed that Shang-Chi.
Hawkeye.
Who is like officially in the works here, and it's like, okay, cool, but when are we gonna get that before we get
for
the
what?
Avengers movie?
What,
like a Shang-Chi?
Oh, yeah.
They've officially confirmed it's in the works, but it's like, what's gonna happen with that character?
That's six movies that have nothing to do with the multiverse. There's six projects that have nothing to do with the multiverse saga. What are they?
Yeah, and
Black Panther 2. Oh my god, what's it called? Werewolf by Night. What are these? What are they?
And I do think
Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
Shang-Chi and Ms. Marvel are going to tie in with Kang somehow here, because someone pointed out, hey, like the inscriptions on Shang-Chi's rings and Ms. Marvel's bangles and Kang stuff is all looks the same. But like, Okay, and also, why is I know why Kang is in the multiverse saga and like all that, but it just they're doing way too much all at once, and it's kind of
I can see why
exhausting.
your friend, one of your friends, feels overwhelmed because like there's so much going on, but none of it connects to
Yeah,
anything.
and it just makes you not want to watch the movies because it's like you're kind of watching them and be like, okay, what's this setting up? And
Yep.
then it either draws too much in from the past here, like Doctor Strange, which you cannot watch without having seen WandaVision here,
Which we were
or
hoping,
like
and
it's
because
all
when
just
we, yeah.
setup stuff and it's not satisfying.
Yeah, and I remember early on in this podcast when we had Reese on, we were talking about WandaVision, and we were just like, oh, there's no way they're gonna make it to where you have to watch these shows in order to enjoy the movies. And they've just
Very
completely
wrong.
taken that away.
Very wrong.
Yeah. So
Yeah. And it makes me feel because like for the Marvels at first I was like, okay, they're obviously, they'll do like you won't have to see Miss Marvel. It'll help because you'll know the character, but you won't have to. Now I'm like, oh no, you're gonna have to because look what they did for Doctor Strange 2.
So, last piece of news, we're going to change over to the DC Universe. On Valentine's Day, Lady Gaga posted an image from the new Joker movie, picture of Lady Gaga's character face to face with the Joker, smudged makeup, and they both seem to be bleeding. Not much to gain from it, but that movie also exists, Joker 2.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with the rest of the DCEU that was announced recently,
Nope.
but it's fun, hopefully.
Yep.
So, cool. Now let's get. So, as I stated previously, we missed 7 episodes of The Bad
Yes.
Batch.
Can we do the Mandalorian first? Because I have a
We can
lot
do
of
The
thoughts about
Mandalorian
that
first.
that I
Yes.
want to ch churn out right here
Yes, we'll
because
do The
it'll.
Mandalorian first, then we'll briefly go over the 7 episodes, like nothing
Yeah.
too insane.
Because my first note about The Mandalorian, this is right in line with all of my Marvel comics.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed the first episode of Mandalorian. I thought it was
I did too.
fantastic. Lots of things I liked. One thing that pissed me off, and I stayed pissed off throughout the entire episode, like genuinely mad, is what happened with the Book of Boba Fett. They mention one thing from it in like the recap, and they don't touch it at all besides that. It starts
Okay.
and Grogu is there. And if you didn't see the Book of Boba Fett, no explanation. And that pissed me off. I was like, how do you expect your audience to just have watched that? Like, of course, all Star Wars fans will. Of course. Of
But see, that's.
you have all Star Wars fans suckered into your little game. But just Mandalorian fans,
Which there are a lot of that have just watched The Mandalorian.
there are tons. Like, it's like I dad has always like kind of like Star Wars. He's always like done Star Wars stuff, but like he just likes Star Wars because it's like because he just likes, like he saw it when it first came out back
Yeah.
whenever, and he's like, yeah, it's cool. Like I'll talk to him about like some of the like specific, like plot things. Like I don't really remember what you're talking about there. He like, I mean, he knows all the big plot points. He's seen all the movies, but like you try to like connect like the background stuff for him. He's like, eh, I don't know about all of
Yeah,
that.
he's a
But
casual
the
Star
Mandalorian,
Wars fan, and that's fine.
yeah.
That's
For the
fine.
Mandalorian, he loves the Mandalorian, but he hasn't watched like all of his other stuff. He watched the last three episodes of Boba Fett because I was like, hey, Dad, let's just watch this because I feel like you might have to. And he's like, all right, sure. And then I was the Mandalorian, and like he loved all that, but like he's not going out of his way to consume all Star Wars material. He only watched Book of Boba Fett because I said, hey, you should, because I knew how much Mando it had. And even then, I was
Right.
like, only watch the last three episodes. And he's like, okay, that sounds good. But like, if I hadn't told him that, and if he had gone to start watching season three, he wouldn't have
He's like,
known.
well, what the hell is
And
Grogu doing here?
it's not like it tells you on screen, hey, you have to watch this. I was at least expecting a hey, previously on The Mandalorian and on the Book of Boba Fett, so a Star Wars fan would know, like, oh, I have, or sorry, a Mando fan would know, hey, I have to go and watch that. But no, they just say previously on The Mandalorian, have a couple scenes from Mando, one scene not from Mando. Where is it from? I guess you missed something, you sucker. And then they skip over that completely. Grogu is there, and then when a character on screen kind of asks, like, oh, where'd he come from? Like Mando basically goes, well, long story, not gonna tell you. And then that's that. And it's like they're really not going to address this whatsoever.
No.
is homework.
No, and see,
they assigned homework, and that pisses me off. I got so mad when I saw that. No matter how cool the rest of the episode was, it's like that stuck with me the entire time. Is why is Grogu there to a casual Star Wars fan?
Well, and that was what I put, something I put in my notes. It said it dealt with past storylines beautifully, except Grogu being back. People who didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett, I'm sure, are confused.
Yeah, that was the one thing. And I was like, that is just, I feel like that was Star Wars being intentionally disrespectful to casual fans. And that pissed me off.
Probably. You're probably not wrong. And a little caveat, apparently Jon Favreau came out and said that there's a 2-year gap between season 2 and 3.
So, all right. So I did see that. And then
you would never know, though. I didn't know until this morning.
Because I actually went and looked at the article that quote was was supposedly from, and they made that the most clickbaity title as possible. Because
I just saw this online on a video.
I saw it too, and I was like, that cannot be right. It's the article, because that's what the article title claims. And I went and read the quote, and the actual quote was he was saying is like there were 2 years between when the show's aired on Disney Plus. That's basically all he was saying, was just that. But then.
Okay.
He also said the timeline is longer than like most people think, but like he never actually said it was like actually 2 years. He said there were 2 years between the show was aired. And he said something about the timeline being like a bit closer to that than what people think.
So it's been like 2 years since the beginning of the when the first show first started in canon, I guess.
Yeah, like.
Okay, more sense.
I have no idea what the timeline actually is. I just know because I saw this, like, it cannot be 2 years. That is insane to me. Especially because, like, what would Boba Fett have been doing this entire time? Like, what did... Because, like, and, like, if it is that long, how can you tell that from the show? You can't. There's no way.
That's what I mean. I didn't find that out until this morning. Okay, so that's good to know. That was just someone... On the video that I watched, someone never read the article.
Yeah, but I don't blame them because the title of the article clearly said, like the title, I don't know if you saw the actual article was called, but the article was essentially called like Jon Favreau confirms there's 2 years between X event and X event, which is just quotably false if you read the actual article, but the article title just claims that. So
clickbait. Anyway, so the actual episode itself was awesome. I think it did everything a first episode of a season is supposed to do. It set up storylines. It had the right amount of Easter eggs.
Perfect. One thing that I absolutely loved, I saw this and I let out like an audible noise from my mouth, like a gasp, like an audible gasp. And
I think I know where you're going.
And Lauren did too, because we had both just finished Star Wars Rebels very recently here. And seeing the silhouettes of the Purgils in the hyperspace lanes, I lost my mind. I was like, that is, oh my God. Because what I honestly think, I was thinking about it during the show and afterwards some, and I was like, I bet this was an on-screen animation test for the Ahsoka show, because there is no way they don't have a role in the Ahsoka show, and I bet this was like an animation test they wanted to include, and they looked so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love seeing those things.
Mm-hmm. I did not pay that much attention. I didn't find out what that was until afterwards because like 5 in the morning when I watched it.
Okay. That's
so
totally
I was like watching it and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. And then later on, I was like, oh, those are Purgles.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved an audible gasp, and I have never felt as big of a nerd as I did in that moment. Knowing what those things were and being so excited about just seeing their silhouettes, I have done nerdy stuff before. Me laying on an audible gasp at the sight of Purgil live action silhouettes, the most nerdiest thing I've ever done. But well, I am so pumped for that.
And it's funny because, and I know you guys just recently, I know you recently rewatched it, but going into Mando season 2, you didn't know anything, I don't think, about Rebels, right?
Because
I remember I had to convince you to watch Rebels. It took me a long time to do it.
I don't think I saw Rebels before season 2. Wait.
Oh no, you're right, because Ahsoka was in season 2, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was after season 2, because I remember we were talking about it, and I mentioned all these things from Rebels, and you just were like, cool, I guess, I don't know. And then you finally watched it.
Best decision I've ever made.
It's such a good show, and there's so much that they're going to be referencing here in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
With Star Wars.
But because probably like why I felt like as big of a nerd as I did is like it was myself and Lauren, who are both huge into Star Wars. It was my roommate and his girlfriend who were watching it as well, who are also huge into Star Wars. And then my other roommate and her boyfriend who were there as well. And like her boyfriend was huge into Star Wars. She was not. Mm-hmm. So it was five of us, huge into Star Wars, know all the Easter eggs, gasping at everything. And her, who just loves Pedro Pascal, who was like, what are you guys talking about? Like when the silhouettes came on and I audibly gasped and we were all talking about it. I mean, I was like, this is what Star Wars nerds look like to like actual people there. Just like the most mundane thing on screen and everybody freaking cool out. Yeah.
Oh, cool whales. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh man.
That's how I felt with Black Chrysanthemum when he made his appearance in Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Because you're not that into the comics like I am. Because I remember I saw him on, I was like, oh my God, it's Black Chrysanthemum. And then I came and talked about it in the podcast. You're like, yeah, cool. I have no idea who that is. He's from the comics. I'm like,
oh man.
And I like how there's different levels of all this too, of the Star Wars fandom.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah, like it is so weird. I will say it is so weird. Like having the last Star Wars show we got was Andor, and now we have the Mandalorian, because they are two phenomenal Star Wars shows on mm-hmm. opposite sides of the spectrum entirely. Like one show, like Andor is phenomenal, and there's like hardly any like fan references or fan service in
there's
the show.
There's barely any
at all.
Star Wars. Just,
yeah, like it's just phenomenal by itself. And you Mandalorian, which is phenomenal, but there is like
plenty Star Wars.
Everything Star Wars crammed into that show. So
lots
it's so funny
Star
to see
War.
Two great shows, opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So this show, it picks up right after the Book of Boba Fett.
Also we are saying right after. Apparently we have no idea what the timeline actually is, so who knows.
It takes place at some point in time.
Yeah, it looks like it picks up pretty shortly after. I thought it was starting with a flashback. I'll be real honest, everyone I was watching it with did too, because we were like, oh, this is a flashback to Andalore. This is when Din Djarin first
me too.
Became
a
Mandalorian.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he shows up and it's like, what is going on? And it's like,
dude, I'd forgot
so,
about
yeah.
that part. You're right.
Yeah. That threw me off. That threw me for a major loop.
That CG was incredible. Of that gigantic alligator. That was awesome. It was weird
that
when there were guts
wild.
Everywhere, but that was something.
Yeah.
When I first saw that the helmet they were making, I thought it was for Grogu. I thought they were giving Grogu a helmet.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Grogu's getting the helmet. And then it was just some kid.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird start to the show, but also kind of a cool start. But also, I was still expecting them to go into why Grogu was with him. And then he just pops up his head when Din Djarin lands his ship. Mm-hmm. After Din Djarin like saves the day, after they were trying to like baptize this kid in a monster infested lake. So mm-hmm.
It was strange, but it was good.
It was like it was a weird start. It was a cool start. I will absolutely mm-hmm. say that, but it was just weird.
And we got some background on the Mandalorian cult, as Bo-Katan likes to call them.
Yes.
So that was interesting. And then he goes back to where the whole show started, and the whole place is just different. Have money. He's turned the I don't remember the guy's name. He's turned it into like a real nice, respectable port.
Yeah.
Everything's going great. The bar is a school. Everyone likes when bars turns into schools. Except those pirates.
Especially those pirates. Those pirates loved that it was a school now. They had this statue of IG-11, right? Was his name there? Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah.
It was so weird to see that in the flashback. That was the thing that bugged me is how they included that in like the recap thing where they were like previously on the Mandalorian. They included the IG-11 thing, but not why Grogu was with Din Djarin. But yeah, they had that and they had the statue, and I was like, okay, cool. And you know what happened with that? Well, later on, we can go more with what happened with that.
At the end of the episode, they should have just like in after the end credits, they should have just put this re. put the scene in where Poe Dameron says somehow, remember we talked about it on the last episode?
Somehow Grogu has returned.
Yeah, they just do that, but somehow Grogu's returned.
Oh man.
Just, yeah. Just like put the scene and just like put a bad voice over Palpatine. Yeah. But Grogu.
Yeah. Yeah, like somehow Grogu has returned.
So yeah. So he comes back. They I like the way they explained away Carino, whatever her first name is.
Yes.
That was funny.
Yeah, they a lot just of people hit it so quickly because I remember seeing before that like the writer's room was trying to figure out if they should explain her disappearance or not. Mm-hmm. And then going back and forth about it, I was like, okay, so if they do it, it'll be a big deal in the episode, huh? And it was just like one line just to casually explain.
Like,
it,
oh yeah, like, she just made me.
That did not feel out of place at all. That felt so natural in the episode. I was almost like, why would you not include this? Why was it such a huge debate? Like, that felt the most in place line of all time.
Yeah, so that was an interesting tidbit there. And then they had that standoff with the pirates. Mando did his Mando thing. And then it was a short episode. I was surprised when I turned it on. It's 37 minutes.
Yes, same. Out of that, and I was like that feels like kind of like an average length for like the middle episodes, but for like start and end, they're usually like a bit closer to like to an hour, I feel. I don't remember exactly. I didn't go back and look, but like it's like that feels like a short start.
But it worked. I don't think it needed to be longer or shorter. I thought it was that was good length. So yeah. And then
he wants IG 11 alive. That's what came out as like the thing, which is cool. He has trust in one droid now and exactly one. So he just needs to get a memory circuit for the droid because it has defaulted to its original programming, and they need to copy all the old information off, put it on a new memory drive, and put that in his head. So he is the same IG 11, which is kind of like a really cursed thing for droids. Like, if I died in like an epic self-sacrificing explosion way and then was all of a sudden just alive again, I would be freaking out too, for one, memories or not. But like, I'm really curious what will happen when he's actually brought back with his memories. If it'll be like, okay, cool, or if it'll be like, why am I not exploded?
Right. And there's two major storylines they set up right there in the episode. Yep. And then so after that, he goes and he finds Bo-Katan.
Well, first let's talk about the pirate thing. How they basically added space Blackbeard to the thing.
Yeah.
Giant moss beard hanging off that guy's face.
Yep.
I'm excited to see where that storyline goes, because Mando has never really gone up against like an organization like this before. He's fought like the Empire
remnants
and all that, but it never like a gang of space pirates. So
yeah, and there's storyline number three.
Yes.
And then I will say absolute
shout out to him for using the speed thing so often, because I was a little scared that it was going to become like, okay, cool, he can do this, but there's always going to be some convenient plot reason that he won't. But no, he's using it to get out of everything, which is what you should be using that for. Like, that's why your ship has that.
Yeah, and I thought the space battle was cool. We've not seen a lot of space battles in Star Wars lately.
Yeah, like
even in the Bad Batch, which is
especially
weird.
With the Mandalorian, I don't feel like we've ever had like
a space battle
at all.
I think a short one. And maybe like season one or two. And that may have been not in space. That may have just been on land.
Yeah. Just like in the air on land. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then.
So that was cool. Then he went to see.
Bo-Katan. Who is.
Can you talk about how.
Howdy. Seems wrong for her.
Yeah. But can you talk about how funny his entrance was almost, where Bo-Katan is not expecting anyone as far as I can tell. He walks in this castle and there's just one hallway and she's just chilling on the throne at the end of the hallway, not expecting anybody. Mm-hmm. And some of that just image was so funny to me. It's like, does she just sit there
just all day?
Just like, just not doing anything, just on her throne in this big empty hallway. Like,
well,
that was.
And she explained, so she's like, ever since I lost the Darksaber, no one wants to be here. So they just left.
Yeah.
They don't respect her anymore. They don't give a shit. And so he needs help from other Mandalorians. And he's like, you got the Darksaber? He's like, yeah. He's like, all right, they'll listen to you. Sweet. And yeah. She's just sitting there. It just seems so out of character for me for Bo-Katan. She's just never been like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't my favorite Bo-Katan moment.
To be fair, like, it kind of made sense in my mind. It's like she kind of devoted everything to this one thing, and now she's kind of lost it all. It's like she's been trying for years.
Decades.
It's got to have been. Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, that goes back to the end of the original trilogy. And this is after end of the prequel trilogy. And this is after the, like, this is like midway between the sequels and the originals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long battle part. And this is supposed to be like the final moment where she got everything. And then it just backfired in her face completely. So, yeah. Because now Din Djarin has it. So,
yep.
Oops.
But she did mention the cult she was a part of in the Clone Wars, remember? That was against the teen. I don't remember what they were called.
Do I remember that?
Yeah, remember in Clone Wars they were on the moon.
I don't remember what she talked about.
She basically talked about how the divisions between the clans ruined Mandalore.
Oh.
And Mandalorian culture. And she mentioned the clan that she was part of.
Oh.
During the whole reason there was even a civil war, Mandalorian civil war. Sweet. So that Clone Wars. So that I thought it was a neat Easter egg there. And then that's kind of where we left, I think.
Yeah. Think so.
And there's four storylines for you.
Yep.
And
so
they're gonna conquer it all in the next seven episodes.
Yeah, it looks very promising. Like, The Mandalorian has always been a great show, in my opinion, except for the fact that Grogu is back, and they won't talk about why. Why did they do that? Why did they make that decision for Book of Boba Fett?
That's so funny.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch straight from season two to season three, and like, that's what drives me crazy about stuff like this. It's like, you're gonna be so confused. Even with like all of ACW shows, like Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. I don't know if like you fully know how that all worked, but they would have crossovers and they would have, depending on how many shows were involved, they would have 3-part crossovers, 4-part crossovers, 2-part crossovers, 5-part crossovers. And for each one, each show, like, you know, they all air on different nights. So one episode of the crossover would be in each show. So you have like the Flash episode of the crossover and so on and so on. But like, so to watch it live was super easy. You would just tune in each night. To stream it, you know, you're watching Flash, you know, episode 18, you got episode 19, you are 3 parts into a crossover you have not seen the first 2 parts to. So if you actually want to see what happens, you have to go and find where to watch the other shows on streaming, watch that episode, and then come back, watch that one, watch the conclusions, then jump back to the show. And it's like, casual fans won't know how to do that.
Right.
And the same thing with streaming The Mandalorian. Like, if you're watching it live and you know what's in the Book of Boba Fett, you can go in and watch that episode, then wait 2 years and have The Mandalorian season three air. But if you're just like, if like in a year someone recommends The Mandalorian to you and you just want to go and binge the show,
binge watch it,
you're going to jump confused. from the finale of two to the start of three, and you're going to be like, what happened?
What did I miss?
Yeah.
Well,
especially when you watch the recap, and there's that even happened with the Flash, with the Flashes in last season now, so I've been watching, and there was a flashback, like they all have flashbacks occasionally, like characters will, and there was like 3 flashbacks in this last episode, and one of them I did not recognize at all, and I was like, okay, did I miss an episode? And with me, even though I know it's all contained, you know, one series. 8 seasons. I'm not gonna be able to go back and find where this flashback was from. I tried Googling it. That didn't work. I'm out of luck. Is there something I'm supposed to know here?
Yeah.
And here it's like there have been 16 episodes before this point. Someone who binges all of them, they're like, I did not miss that scene because I would remember that scene. They're not gonna know where to go. If they look it up, it'll be easy enough, but oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that goes back to what you were saying about Marvel. And if you didn't see this in this show, you're not going to know what happened in this movie.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah. But
like,
I think...
Like, how story that should always be, in my opinion, is like, hey, if you have seen it, you'll be rewarded as a viewer for having seen it. Yep. But if you haven't, you shouldn't be punished for that. And I feel like a lot of what Marvel, DC, and Thoros have been doing is they've been punishing you for not having watched specific other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, cut that out. Cut that out, guys.
Damn it, I just want to watch casually. Let me do it.
Yeah. Comics should be fun, not stressful.
So, all right. So now the bad. Is that everything you want to say on The Mandalorian?
I think so, yeah. I am looking forward to where it's going. I wish they would have done some things. Oh, also, I will say, that's one thing that does concern me about the Ahsoka show, because there was some quote online from some director or some producer or whatever saying, like, they're trying to structure the, like, releases, like, timeline to make sure Ahsoka lines up with where it needs to line up in, like, The Mandalorian and, like, all that. And the reaction I had, the reaction I've seen online is, please do not do to Ahsoka what you did with the Book of Boba Fett. It ends up becoming like Mandalorian season 3.5, it's like, first of all, Ahsoka, we know what its plot is going to be already. It's not going to need all the time in the world to be able to resolve that. Well, don't try to cram the Mandalorian back in there too. Why does he have to be in every show?
Yeah.
But so yeah. Yeah.
Well, and don't cram other people into the Mandalorian. They haven't, which they've done a really good job of not doing that. And they introduced Luke Skywalker, sure. They introduced Ahsoka, sure. But otherwise...
But that was all one-offs, and it was
worked.
Fine.
And it worked, yeah.
Yeah.
It did not ruin the story in any way.
No. Unlike what they did with the Book of Boba Fett, where they turned the Book of Boba Fett into Star Wars the show.
Yeah. There were many Star Wars in the Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but Bad I do Batch. Think that's all my thoughts. Yeah. Bad Batch so, time, seven
I
episodes.
I don't know if Let I me... really want to go through all these seven episodes.
No, I don't either. I just want to talk about the highlights from each of them.
Yeah. So Bad Batch episode 5 was.
We haven't done anything since episode 4. That was the last episode we covered.
Yep.
Wait, so that means because they're on 12 now. So
they're on 11.
The
most recent one was 11. So yes, I guess the next one was 12.
But... Okay. Yeah. I was thinking the wrong way then.
I don't know what this one is about.
I need to pull up these on my phone to be able to look through.
Yeah, episode five. I'm pulling up Disney Plus.
Oh, episode 5 was kind of cool. It was kind of this weird like one off episodes. Bad Batch has done a lot of just one off standalone episodes, which is cool. But like, I like more of the like arc things.
Yeah, but I mean, the Clone Wars did that as well. And so do Rebels. Every show's got to do that. Like, not everything can be this intense arc.
Yeah. Which, again, is totally fine. But that was the one where they found a treasure map and they went to look for treasure.
Oh, that's season 1. Yeah.
And the cool thing about that was, like, when the ancient, like, machine thing activated. And it was, like, a giant, like, robot thing. The likes of which we haven't really seen in Star Wars before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool.
I had written down that giant robot kind of looked like Dialga from Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was just cool. Well, I wish they'd done more with that, honestly, or, like, structured it in a different way. It was kind of weird where it felt like the Bad Batch were, like, making a test appearance on some other kind of Star Wars show, mm-hmm. like some kind of animated treasure hunting Star Wars show, because they weren't really, like, the driving figures in the narrative. They were just kind of there. Right. But like, it was cool to see.
Yeah, and I think it was really cool because we got some different kind of lore. We got some bounty hunter and pirate lore, mm-hmm. which we don't get a lot of in Star Wars. We get more Jedi and Sith lore. So I thought that was a really interesting part of this. I will say the animation in this show, and it blows me away every week. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and it keeps getting better.
Yeah,
the visually quality of this show is really good.
Yeah,
the content-wise has been really good too, but especially visually, mm-hmm. it's just been excellent.
Yes. The next episode 6 was
the Wookiee.
Yes,
Jedi,
that was
cool. I believe we saw in Clone Wars. Correct? That's the same one.
Maybe I do remember there was a Wookiee youngling Jedi, but I honestly
with Ahsoka
couldn't tell you.
It was an Ahsoka storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. The thing that kind of bugged me about this episode, I still don't know where they're going with Omega. Now in the last episode, we've kind of gotten a thing where they're building up to like Omega as a clone, but it's like, you know, the Bad Batch, each of them has like a unique thing that makes them strong. With Omega, we hadn't really established what that is yet, or like why she was kind of cloned like the way she was, or why she's really like one of the like the bad batch here. Mm-hmm. What, you know, a lot of people had speculated early on, which I kind of still hope is true, because I think that would be cool, is if she was a clone who has the
force sensitivity. Force.
Yeah, like force sensitivity and all that. So when they introduced this Jedi character, I was like, maybe this is how Omega starts to figure out some things about herself, her own force sensitivity, if this is the direction they've chosen to go.
Interesting.
But all it did, because like they talk about this episode where like the Wookiee's kind of talking about how like he interacts with things, and how, and Omega's talking about it, and like Omega's like, yeah, I cannot do this at all. I don't understand it. Like, he taught me how to meditate. This is another episode, I think, where she's like, he taught me how to
meditate.
I don't get anything from that at all. Not like he does whatsoever. I just do it because, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, so they're basically doing everything they can to confirm she is not force sensitive at all. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. You know, I'm not mad about that. I'm interested to see the direction like the story goes. But like, it's like they have that. And it's, but they're still being so mysterious about her kind of as a clone. In my mind, maybe in actuality, they're not trying to be mysterious. Maybe it's just like, oh, she isn't really that special as a clone. She's special for other reasons here. But yeah, it was a really interesting episode. Really interesting to see like Jedi stuff happening again. Really interesting mm-hmm. to see what's going on the Wookiee homeworld. And, yeah,
and we
like
got
all
some Wookiee lore as well.
Yeah,
about,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the way they look at this, they see trees on Kashyyyk.
Yep.
And just quickly a little background about the reason they had Trandoshans hunting Wookiees, so the Empire
Black
had
Chris Sisanton. That was a lot of what his backstory, right?
Yes,
that
time yes, with yes. His? Yeah. And so basically, Trandoshans they just hunt Wookiees. That's just something they did regardless. Mm-hmm. They do it for sport. There's particularly in the Bounty Hunter comics. There's a Trandoshan bounty hunter who's his name is Bosk. And he's known as the Wookiee Killer. That's his nickname.
I know him, right?
He was in
Clone Wars, right? Too.
Yes, I
was
think
he in
so.
Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah.
But we I think this is like one of the first time we've actually seen them physically hunting them. Even if it's for the Empire, and as some of us know, the Empire enslaved the entire planet of Kashyyyk, and just all of Wookiee kind, which explains why yeah. Which is how Han found Chewie,
yep.
and Solo. Mm-hmm. But so it's interesting that the Empire enlisted the Trandoshans to hunt Wookiees, considering yeah. their the Empire is kind of racist towards other
yeah
yeah. So also,
do you have
I didn't
any
know
other
that
thoughts?
I didn't know that Chewbacca's crossbow was of Wookiee design. I did not realize that. That was kind of confirmed in this, because I don't think I've seen anyone else with a crossbow.
Yeah. Now.
My last thing was that that was probably that was my favorite episode since the premiere. And back in 2021.
My favorite episode since the premiere, hands down, the next episode,
the
season 2,
conspiracy.
Episode 7.
Yes.
I love the Clone Conspiracy. That's my favorite
insane.
One. It did not have the Bad Batch at all.
No.
Which,
I mean, it had Rex.
I guess
he's now technically part of the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
By way of he's not a good clone.
I love this episode. I think this was hands down like my favorite, because you got to see more of how it was in the Senate, how Coruscant is after the Empire, how the clones are really being treated after the Empire here. So much.
Because of that, it actually connects to Andor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I thought this was almost the perfect Bad Batch episode, mm-hmm. and it didn't have the Bad Batch at all. So not sure what that really means for what I'm looking for in this show here.
It was part of an arc, though. It was a two-episode arc
cool.
with the Bad
yes,
Batch.
Yes.
So they were in the second part of the arc, which
yep.
is episode 8.
Yep.
But yeah,
I still like this episode.
Intense.
I like this episode more, even. It reminded me almost of like
Andor.
What was the Clone
It reminded me of Andor a little bit.
It reminded me of the Clone Wars arc, I think, where Fives found out about Order's 66.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And yeah, it was like
that was
like
super
that whole style
dark.
Arc. Yeah. I need to go back and rewatch that arc still, because I remember I really love that arc.
Clone Wars,
I've only seen it once, and it's been forever here. But mm-hmm. So yeah, but like I love this episode.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal.
And I'll tie eight.
We got the Emperor's
well.
Appearance. I don't remember. It was the next episode. I think.
No,
we got
the Emperor's appearance.
Yeah, appearance. It was phenomenal.
So in this episode they found out, or the one senator found out that, who I believe we've seen before in the Clone Wars, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
They found out that Admiral Rampart destroyed the cloning facility, which everyone thought it was some freak storm. And then some people were like, well, actually it doesn't make any sense, because that's like, it's a submersive like city.
Yeah.
Like, that should not happen.
Yeah. It's built to survive this. So.
Right. Cause that's what the planet is. It should be built to survive that.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of that. And then in the next episode, episode 8, the Bad Batch were enlisted to basically get that information from the Rampart's ship, and they proved it right. And then it backfired on them, which is what I think is what made the episode good, because
very cool.
A lot of times we're used to just, oh, good guys always win, but Palpatine is so, like, he's always 18 steps ahead of you.
He's so ahead of the curve here.
And he knew that they were going to do that and find out that that happened. He got Rampart arrested and still was able to push his agenda forward on decommissioning the clones.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a masterful job for those two episodes. Mm-hmm. And then they have a clone.
I love
assassins
that
now.
That was wild, right?
That are going against the Empire.
Yeah.
And that will kill themselves, and they will not get themselves captured. They kill themselves so that doesn't happen. It was a dark set of episodes, but it was they were so good. Probably some of the
phenomenal.
Best Bad Batch episodes we've gotten.
Yeah.
Some of the best
and
animated
then,
stuff we've gotten since season 7 of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. And then Echo decided to leave the Bad Batch and stay with Rex and do his whole mission, which I thought was a bold choice. I was not expecting that at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to where this goes, because, like, you know, Echo kind of has to come back at some point. There's no reason to write him off as a character, because there's only one voice actor who's voicing all these dudes. So it's not like, oh, this guy can't be a voice actor now. So whatever. It's like he's going to come back. We know it. So somehow these arcs are going to loop back around. We kind of saw part of that in the most recent episode here. Yep. But it was such a bold choice. Like, I was like, okay, this show is really about to go places now.
I think it's finally found its footing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas
season
1, it was kind of just feeling itself out. Like season 1 of Clone Wars, it's just kind of feeling itself out.
And
but now
season
it's
found of Rebels. And
season
1 of Rebels is as well. Yeah.
And it felt itself out. Now it knows where it wants to go, and it's got its feet in the ground, and it beautifully doing it. And again, the animation in this show is spectacular.
Yeah.
But anyway, the next episode.
Episode 9 and 10, another arc here. I didn't really vibe with this one as much. I thought it was some cool stuff, but I don't really have a lot of thoughts about this one. If like you
just,
have any thoughts,
it was just
here,
some stuff outside.
Share.
It was just some stuff outside the Empire, where we see that there are similar things going on to the Empire happening outside in the rest of the galaxy.
Yep.
But again, it's not too much happening in these two episodes. Yeah. We got a little bit more depth with character development with Omega.
Yeah.
Which
she
I think
really
is the main part of these two episodes.
Echo here,
So, you know, I thought that was good. We got some good character development with her, but again, not really much to say about them. They're fine. They're fine episodes.
Yeah.
But it's hard to come after. It's hard to follow up after that heavy hitter. Those two heavy hitters of 7 and 8, which I think they came out on the same
day.
If I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But I didn't watch them that day. I didn't watch them till last week.
Yeah.
So episode 11.
I will say, what was the other thought I had?
I don't know. I'm not in your brain.
Sid. Like, it kind of was a weird beat with Sid, where Sid didn't immediately volunteer to help them. Sid was like, oh, you have to be stranded for like a couple of days here, and then maybe I'll help you here. It's like, she's giving every reason for the Bad Batch to kind of like leave her. So I don't know what's going with that, because... Yeah, because like they were setting up like a Sid arc early on in the season, and now it's kind of fallen off, and she's just you know there, and I'm like, are they gonna leave her? Is something gonna happen? Are they gonna leave her and then something happens? They have to be brought back in or what? So
yeah, and we saw that continue in this episode, in episode 11, which is called Metamorphosis, which phenomenal episode.
Oh yeah. This one was
insanely good episode. But we kind of see
the direction that it goes in. Yeah.
We see that they're kind of playing with leaving Sid, which they said in the episode that they won't because she knows too much about them. And remember, the Empire thinks that they're dead.
Yeah. Does the Empire still think that they're dead?
Rampart knows that they're not. Because the clone told him, and then he killed that clone and then submitted this was from the second episode, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He submitted his report or whatever, saying that he didn't mention the Bad Batch.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knows they're alive, but who knows who's listening to him now? Because he's been arrested.
Yeah.
Going against the Empire or whatever. I don't know what charge they're actually going to bring him up on, but or if we'll ever see him again. I'm sure we will.
Treason or whatever.
Who knows?
Terrorism on the planet he destroyed.
So obviously, after this episode, they have a suspicion that they're alive because they're going to be hunting Omega.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so this episode does a lot for the rise of Skywalker. And if you remember the end of season one of The Mandalorian, we saw that lab, that facility where clones were.
Start of season two, right?
Or was it the start of season two? Was it the end of season one or the start of season two? We saw that the laboratory in a mountain. I believe this is the same one. This is Mount Tantus.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe this is the same one.
So this is starting to fill in the gaps of Rise of Skywalker and how Palpatine returned. So basically, a little background.
That'd be really interesting.
In Legends, Mount Tantus is in Legends. That's where it's used a lot after the end of Return of the Jedi. It's where Palpatine had stored all his Sith relics and dark side artifacts, and where he did a lot of his radical experimentation. And as we know, this is where they wanted Grogu to do more of that cloning. And as we learn in this episode, they've already started doing cloning, and they have Nala Se on the planet to do cloning.
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're starting to fill in gaps on one, how we get Rey's father, how we get Snoke, and how we get the return of Palpatine.
Yeah.
So we're going this far back in order to fill in some of these gaps. And I think that would be wild if this
is directly what they're setting up with all of this, because that would be going way far ahead here.
Mm-hmm. They are. So, or like, that's what it seems like. But anyway, so the beginning of the episode, we see there's a ship come out of hyperspace and it's dead. It's dead to rights.
Yeah. Like immediately we're like, okay, this is a horror episode here, huh?
Yes. And I got alien vibes and I loved it. And it really shows that if Star Wars wanted to, and I think they should, they can make a horror movie, horror show, because there's just so many
dark
and scary things in space. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that vibe we got from it. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
we found out that what they were carrying, what the ship was carrying, was a clone of the Zillo Beast from the Clone Wars. I think Palpatine, you know, alluded something in that episode. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't remember. But if like this really like resolved that arc and set up this whole new arc here, like crazy episode, and like it shows more of how ruthless the Empire is, because some town folks saw it maybe, and they were all rounded up immediately.
Every single one of them. Yep. Mm-hmm. And this also connects to, and I was watching a video afterwards because I wanted to know more about Mount Tantus, because I was like, man, I've seen this before. And that's because of the Mandalorian. So I looked it up and they were talking about in Andor, they didn't want any of the prisoners to escape. So they kept lengthening because they saw things the Empire did not want them to see. And so that they're connecting what was happening in Andor with what's happening in the Bad Batch
with those people.
Because those people are going away. They're going to work in those factories like they were on. Because they're not going to get out because they don't want the Empire. They don't want people knowing what the Empire is actually doing.
Yeah, no.
So I thought that was an interesting connection to be made. But yes, the Zillo Beast, it was an interesting connection to the Clone Wars, which I just completely forgot about. And we found out near the end of the episode that Palpatine had that cloned during the Clone Wars, which I thought was interesting, which means he's been gone at this forever. Yeah. Man, he is an insane villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's just so smart and methodical. Methodic? He uses his methods.
Methodical, yeah.
Yeah, methodical, okay. And so we basically, at the end of the episode, we find out that Omega's now the next person they're hunting for.
Yeah.
Because they want Nala Se to cooperate.
Yeah.
Help them with their cloning efforts. So,
yeah.
Man, it was a good episode. It was really good. Bad Batch. And it, I think this is the first time Disney Plus has ever overlapped Star Wars series.
Yeah.
It had overlap with Star Wars and Marvel, but never Star Wars and Star Wars. So
now you have Bad Batch and The Mandalorian on the same day.
Yeah, and both phenomenal episodes on the same day. And I definitely Bad Batch is overshadowed by Mandalorian, but that Bad Batch episode was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where things go from there.
Do we know how long season two is supposed to be?
I want
to
say 22 episodes, but I don't know.
Yeah. How
we're
many
about halfway through this season.
Episodes in Bad Batch season two.
22? Is it 20?
16.
Oh, God. There's only five left?
There's only five left, yeah.
Oh, wow. God. I thought there'd be somewhere in the 20s. Okay. Well, they don't have. Well, so they have five episodes to hunt down Omega.
Yeah. Looks like it. And
that makes me kind of more excited at the same time.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued where we will see Crosshair again next, because we saw him in episode three, and that's been it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole season, like, a lot of people had their qualms with Bad Batch season one, but this season's been awesome.
Yeah.
It's had mostly high points. I mean, there's been a couple like middle points, but for the most part, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's all I have on Bad Batch.
That's all my thoughts on Bad Batch as
and
well.
We're running out of an hour and 45 minutes.
Hey, we didn't have to have any ad breaks this time.
No, because I did things with Zoom. I got tired of the ad breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys like this episode,
and I hope you
give
did.
Give us a like.
But no pressure. Tell us the truth.
Subscribe to us wherever you're listening to this episode.
If you didn't like us, that's okay.
That's fine. Please don't tell us. But if you did like us, give us a review. I think review is warranted.
Yeah. If you can. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give subscribe here wherever you're listening to it.
Sure.
Subscribe to my YouTube
channel. And subscribe there where you're not listening to it. Go there anyway, and double subscribe.
Exactly. Subscribe to my channel, Wolfgate Entertainment. Subscribe to Brennan's, not Brennan.
Yes.
That's the name of
I don't know why.
Not Brennan.
I don't know why he keeps calling me this. I don't know who Brennan is. I'm not Brennan. I keep telling him.
Go subscribe to not 230 episodes in, not Brennan.
We're not 230 episodes in yet.
Yet. Well, with the pace we're going, it's going to be a couple decades. So
it's going to be a while.
We appreciate you guys listening every week. Episode 57 is in the books. Peace out.
Peace.